within hearing some of the attributes of God. Can you remember what they are? What's the three omnis? I'm not talking about buses. Omnipresent, omniscient, and omnipotent. Yeah. He's everywhere at the same time. He dwells in time, and he doesn't dwell in time. He knows everything. That could be scary. He knows everything and understands everything. And he's all powerful. It means what he says, he can do. And if he says something's not going to happen, it doesn't happen. He is all powerful. Okay, I'll read this out and then we'll carry on from there. We're going to have a quick look at the fact that God became a human being, which is pretty neat. This is 1 John, of course, 3 John 1. In the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God. God created everything through him, and nothing was created except through him. The Word gave life to everything that was created, and his life brought life to everyone. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. God sent a man, John the Baptist, to tell about the light so that everyone might believe because of his testimony. John himself was not the light. He was simply a witness to tell about the light. The one who is the true light, who gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He came into the very world he created, but the world didn't recognize him. He came to his own people, and even they rejected him. But to all who believed him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. They are reborn, not with a physical birth resulting from human passion or plan, but a birth that comes from God. So the Word became human and made his home among us. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness, and we have seen his glory, the glory of the Father's one and only Son. John testified about him when he shouted to the crowds, "This is the one I was talking about when I said someone's coming after me who is far greater than I am, for he existed long before me." John was at great pains to point out that this little baby Jesus guy who was coming was God himself. And it's pretty amazing when you think God dwells in unapproachable light. Also says he dwells in unfathomable darkness. His ways are past finding out. God is big. He's very big. He sits above the vault of the earth. He sits outside of time. Everything is upheld by the word of his power. It's a little bit scary to think that's the person who made us. That's the person who loved us. But it's God. And when you look through the Old Testament, you see a different God to the one that we know. There's lots of names of God, and they knew God by the things that he did. So he was kind of all-powerful, they'd worked that out. He was their provider, and he was Lord, he was the boss. And when Jesus came, when God came as Jesus, should I say, he has life in himself and he gives life to all created things. It's an interesting point. I'm trying to go through this quickly because there's other bits I want to get out. But the fact that Jesus gave us life meant that that life became light. God gave us the light. Of the life by which we could see God and understand him. We could understand spiritual reality by the life that he gave us. God is a complete mystery, actually, until he reveals himself to us. And the way he reveals himself to us is by his Spirit. It's Holy Spirit, the one and only Holy Spirit. But all through the Old Testament, it was the law. And it was, you serve God. You do this, or you don't do that. And God judged every wrong. And I'm so glad I didn't have to live under the Old Testament. It's a pretty scary place to be. And yet, all the way through the Old Testament, God was saying, right from Genesis, a Redeemer's coming. Your Saviour's coming. I've got the answer. Who can think of one... excuse me. Who can think of one Old Testament scripture that talks about Jesus coming that is relevant today? I'm glad you said that because that's what I was thinking of. Can you quote it? Yeah, I know, you said that. I mean, can you quote the verse? Hang on.
Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Prince of Peace, Almighty Father, and on for his kingdom there shall be no end.
All the way through the Old Testament, God said, I've got the answer. It's coming. It took 4,000 years, but it's coming. But until it came, all we could see of God was somebody who was really unapproachable, was unfathomable, was very frightening because he was so different to us. They called him holy, and holy he was. And basically that meant that everything we did was in opposition to his character and nature, which is why he was so heavy on sin in the Old Testament, and it was a pretty terrible place. God didn't delight in it, but he had no choice. And then Jesus came. There were two people I just wanted to pick out. There was two people in the New Testament in Luke 11. One was Simeon, and one was Anna. Anna was a prophetess. I love these two. Anna would have been married when she was a teenager, which was the normal. She was married for 7 years, and then she was widowed. She died at 84 years old. All of that time, from the time she was widowed to the time she died, she stayed in the temple and she worshipped God. And she prophesied. God had a relationship with her where he would show her things and she would speak on his behalf sometimes. There was another person in there, Simeon, said he was led by the Spirit to the temple on that particular day. On the eighth day, the firstborn of Israel, every male firstborn, when he's 8 days old, he has to be presented to the temple. He belongs to God. And Simeon was in there doing his duty on this particular day, and all of these firstborn boys were coming through, no doubt, and he would hold them and he would bless them. Simeon, God had shown that God had said to him, you won't die until you see my Saviour, until you see the Redeemer come. And the years must have gone past, and he must have wondered, was that me, or was it something I ate? Was it really real? Did God really say that? And then one day, normal day at the office, holds this baby, and the Holy Spirit says, that's the one. And then he said, Lord, now I can die in peace. I've seen your salvation, and Anna starts prophesying and all that. I just wanted to pick those two people out because in one sense it doesn't matter how long you've been a Christian, it doesn't matter how long you've known the Lord and walked with the Lord. Time goes past and you can get really disappointed sometimes and weary. We say the same stuff and it becomes a rite and a rote. And we can lose that first love. We can lose that sense. Simeon, in his heart, was still looking for the one to come right up to that day. Anna said, God, you've got to be my husband now. And so she lived where he lived, as far as she was concerned. All of those many years, there was no bitterness. She kept herself with God. And it's just to say that, you know, it's good sometimes to look back and renew your vows with God. You know, I know it says a slightly heavy one in Revelation about the Ephesian church. You've left your first love. We don't lose it, we leave it. You've left your first love, repent and come back. It's because God wanted that first love relationship. And he wants the first love relationship with us. And it doesn't matter how many years you've been on the road with the Lord, we have to refresh ourselves and renew ourselves in that walk with God. Renew the covenant in that sense. Renew our vows to God. And to renew that relationship, just remember afresh who you are in him. Okay, I just wanted to pick that bit out. Okay. Verse 14 said, the word became human and made his home among us. Hebrews 1, it says, in these last days, God has spoken to us in his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the world. And there is something that God had been aiming for right from the beginning, and that is to sum everything up in Christ. As the head of humanity, as the head of creation, one that was not blemished, that would never sin, and he would always hold it together because he died that we might live. And he lives. It's not just Jesus died for me, God's Holy Spirit came in, touched my spirit, made it come alive, joined me forever. It's an eternal state. Join me to God by his spirit. We're one spirit with him. That's an eternal state, and that's unless you think God can get it wrong. You're welcome to think that, but it's an eternal state. If you're saved with God, you're saved with God for all eternity. There's nothing going to happen suddenly I've lost it. You might lose your feelings. You do not lose your state because God, your salvation is God's idea. And in Christ, it is holding for an eternal time. It's an eternal state. Okay. So Jesus became the answer. 2 Corinthians 4:6 says this, for God who said, let there be light in the darkness, has made this light shine in our hearts so we could know the glory of God that is seen in the face of Jesus Christ. If we want to know God, the wonderful thing that we've been given is to look in the face of Jesus Christ. We don't look at the big God out there, big God in the sky. He is the big God in the sky. He's a bit bigger than that, actually. But we see God in the face of Jesus Christ. What does that mean for us? Jesus said, I've got to go back. But tell the others, what did he say to them in John? Can you remember? I'm going to... Go on, don't be scared. If you get it wrong, I'll kick you out of the church, but don't worry. I'm going to my Father. That's what you were going to say. It's all right. And to your Father. Christ was there all the way through. He created everything. He did all that stuff. But the relationship was not possible to be forged in that way. people knew him as all sorts of things. There's lots and lots of names for God that really show his attributes and his character and his nature. But when Jesus came on the scene, he said, I am going to give you my life, so you're going to be born again. And when you've been born again, the fact that my life is in you, you will have light in yourself and you will be able to see the things of God that are freely given to you. And it's in Christ. If you remember Martha and Lazarus, Jesus hung around just to make sure Lazarus was well and truly dead. And then he turns up and Martha said, oh, if you'd have been here, he would have lived. And Jesus said, he'll live again. And she said, oh, yeah, of course, I believe, you know, he will live again in the resurrection. And he sort of looked at her and he said, oh, come on, Martha. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, even though he dies, will live. He who believes in me will never die. That's our state today. We will not die. This body will die. It's part of the earth, and this whole earth is going to get burnt up at some point, and a new one's going to be made. But the real you that lives inside your body will never, ever die. When you pop your clogs, you will go immediately into the presence of God, into the presence of Jesus. That's what will happen to all of us. Something to look forward to, not something to be scared of. Okay. So, nearly done. So Jesus became the answer to everything. It's not now, oh, I'm a Christian now, so now I mustn't do this and I mustn't do that and I must try harder. We'll do that. That's a natural part of the fallen man that does that. But when we finally run out of road, when we finally come to the end of ourselves, we then, like the prodigal, we look in another direction. We will look to Jesus. Jesus is made unto us righteousness and all the other things. It's his life in us. You cannot do anything to make yourself holy. But the one who is holy has now joined himself with you. You are holy because Jesus is holy. You are righteous because Jesus is righteous. If Jesus sins, we've had it. If you sin, Jesus can be your advocate to the throne of God and he can say, I poured my blood out for that sin as well. And you are instantly forgiven. And you are instantly in fellowship again. There is not a reason actually why we should ever be out of fellowship with God. And yes, there are things that we have to do. There are things we have to be. Repentance is, in a sense, is a part of our life. We should always be turning away from something and turning towards God. But it's in God's hands. He's the potter. So, how do I know I'm forgiven? That's a question I need to know, because I'm get a bit anxious about it really sometimes. How do I know I'm forgiven? I haven't got anything to do this afternoon, so there's no rush. Because the word says so. Is that right? But what if I sin again? What if I sin again? So does that mean then, are you trying to tell me that stuff I haven't sinned yet, when I do it, that's still under the blood? That makes me feel a bit easier. How do I know that God loves me? The Holy Spirit is given. There's two things the Holy Spirit does in our lives, isn't there? We're dead in our spirit as far as God is concerned. We're separated from God. Our spirit is naturally dead. You can get into the occult quite nicely if you wish to. But we are separated from God. We don't know the things of God. When the Holy Spirit comes in, he connects to our spirit and makes us one with God. He joins us to him so that we can know the things freely given to us through Jesus in God. But then he comes and he fills us in the same way he filled Jesus. He gives us power or ability, however you like to translate it. And the Holy Spirit is a gift. One of the things that the Holy Spirit does, has been quite rightly said, he comes in and he assures us that God loves us. Does he love me when I get it wrong? God is love. He can't do anything but. We don't understand. The character and nature of God is so in opposition to our fallen natures. It's wonderful. He never stops loving us. He planned before he laid the foundation of the world for your life. He saw the bits where you stumble. He sees the bits where you get scared. He sees the bits where you choose to do it wrong. And he knows how to get us out of it as well. Discipline. Encouragement. Sometimes you can get to a point where suddenly you think, oh, I'm not, where's God? I can't really sense him. What's happening? And he's saying, I want you to come here. I'm not coming to you in this instance. And there's many, many ways, but God is the author of your salvation, and God is the architect of how it is going to work out. We have to work with him, obviously, but underneath us are the everlasting arms. He holds us. And how do we know all of these things? It's in the face of Jesus Christ. If you want to see what God's like, look at Jesus. What was his nature? How did he handle things? He wasn't a little softy, far from it. But how did he handle things? Was he faithful? Yes. Was he all-powerful? Yes. More to the point, is he all-powerful? How about in my life today, this morning? Are you all-powerful, Lord? Can I really trust what your word tells me? How do I know it's true? And he says, look at Jesus. Everything is summed up in him. All creation, all humanity, it's summed up in him. And he is the life of the new creation. The nature that he's given us is the nature of God. And the life that he's given us is the life of God. It's an eternal life. It's an eternal state. We will live forever with God because of Jesus. And we will live knowing God through him because he is God. He's the second person of the Trinity. He is God. Okay. What about the old, and probably we've all been there, oh, I know God forgives me. I just can't forgive myself for that. Can't do that. I just feel it's unforgivable. How do you handle that? How would you deal with that? Answers on a postcard. Yeah. Absolutely. And what are we saying? I mean, you know, we aren't without feelings, and we do feel shame. I mean, Paul said of the Corinthians, he talked about all sorts of stuff that pagan people were still doing. And before they all got too sort of, oh, yes, I wouldn't do that, he just reminded them, and such were some of you, but you were washed, you were cleansed. But the things that were done by these people, you've done, and now you're ashamed of it. And there are times when we feel ashamed of what we've done. But there is never a point when we can say, I cannot forgive myself. What you're saying when you say, I can't forgive myself, you're saying, well, actually, God, I know you've forgiven me, but my standards are a little bit higher than yours, I'm afraid, so I can't forgive myself. And that's really what we're saying. It's nonsense. You know, it's just an emotional day trip, really. It's being silly. You know, if God forgives us, then we're forgiven. When God says, I won't forgive you, you are in serious trouble. But the word says he's forgiven us forever, once for all, as Chica said. How many times has Jesus got to die on the cross? He's only done it once. Because it was accepted in heaven, it never needs to be repeated and never will be. And we're in him, we're safe in him. And Jesus became flesh, he became a human being, and he entered into Adam's race, and he became a living, a life-giving spirit. And he was the last Adam. He closed the door on the old race. And we sit here as a bit of a funny old mixture, really, because there's a lot of the old stuff in me. I mean, I know you look at me and think I'm so spiritual, but ask Wendy later on and you'll find out something else. But but the reality, actually, there is a seed that God has put in me that is the most healthy seed that it could ever be, because it's God himself. And that seed is growing up into eternal life. And I know, without any question, despite all the mess-ups I seem to be pretty good at getting into, there is a day coming when I'm going to stand in the presence of God. And I might be a bit windy about it, but I will stand in the presence of God and I will know that he is my Father. And he will receive me with joy. And he will receive you with joy. And every day, because Jesus came, because God came and joined our human race, because there was nothing we could do to make ourselves right with God, nothing whatsoever. And if we could only remember that, we wouldn't have half the trouble and waste half the time that we do. God came in flesh because he loved us and he loves his creation. He could have just wiped the whole thing out and started again, and it would have been against the nature of God. But he knew before he did anything, he saw you sitting in that seat. And he knows what he needs to do to keep you jogging along. And he knows how exactly every one of your days is going to pan out, even you exercising your free will and all of that stuff and going where he doesn't want you to go. He's still, his plans are even higher than that. And he will get you where he's planning to get you. But in between that, if I can just quickly, and then I'll stop, come back to Anna and Simeon. Renew your vows today. Where are you with God today? Are you in love with him? Are you thrilled? Do you want to dance every time you think of God? Do you get up in the morning and say, oh, it's morning? Or do you say, oh, it's morning? What do you get up for? What gets you out of bed? Is it that relationship with Jesus? There is so, so much more. We've got absolutely no idea, actually. And yet God has got many, many things he wants to show us. Many, many things he wants to do through us. You know, you're not pew fodder. You are individually chosen by God. And you're special and loved by him. And through our lives, before he laid the foundation of the world, he had some ideas of works that he'd like to do through you. He doesn't need us. He just wants to use us. He wants to work with us so that we can enjoy working with him. Okay, I'm going to leave it there. Should we just pray? Lord, I just want to thank you, Father. Lord, we look at ourselves and see how utterly useless we are sometimes. And sometimes we look at ourselves and think we're king of the world, when in reality we're still just as useless, Lord. Father, I just thank you that you are so wonderful, Lord, and that you love us so much. Thank you, Father, that, Lord, when we walk in our pride, which you hate, Lord, and when we walk in stubbornness and we walk in rebellion, you hate it, and yet you never, ever reject us, and you never, ever take your love, Father. You just get the stick out, as a good father would, Lord, and discipline us, Father, until we've had enough. Lord, I just thank you that you will never, ever fail us. Thank you, Lord. Can I just read this last little bit, Ephesians 1:6. So we praise God for the glorious grace he has poured out on us who belong to his dear Son, that's us. He is so rich in kindness and grace that he purchased our freedom with the blood of his Son and forgave our sins. He has showered his kindness on us along with all wisdom and understanding. God has now revealed to us his mysterious plan regarding Christ, a plan to fulfill his own good pleasure. And this is the plan. At the right time, he'll bring everything together under the authority of Christ, everything in heaven and on earth. Furthermore, because we're united with Christ, we have received an inheritance from God. For he chose us in advance, and he makes everything work out according to his plan. So to know God, we must look into the face of Jesus. No longer the demands of the law to be right, but a new life. I can't do it. Jesus in me has done it. I can't live a holy life. Jesus in me is holy as I am because I'm joined to him. And it's his life that permeates, and we will be changed from one degree of glory to another.